Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at how scientists study insects.
Okay.
You might be thinking insects, really. But
right.
Think about it. They're everywhere.
Yep.
They pollinate our plants, break down like all the organic matter. They're food for tons of animals.
Yeah, they're super important.
So understanding how we study them can like unlock some pretty important knowledge.
Absolutely. And, you know, this deep dive is going to focus on two really common methods for studying pollinating insects. Pan traps and sweep netting. These techniques are used all over the place, all over the world.
Yeah.
But they can paint very different pictures of insect populations.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so pan traps. First of all, you're giving me major bug swimming pool vibes here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally like colorful bowls filled with liquid. Like, what's the strategy?
Well, these pools, they're designed to exploit the insect's attraction to bright colors.
Okay.
Especially colors that reflect UV light.
Okay.
So think like vibrant blues, whites, yellows. The idea is to attract insects and see what ends up in the bowls.
So it's a pretty passive approach.
Yeah.
It's like you set it and forget it.
Pretty much to a certain extent, yeah.
Right.
But the data collected from pan traps can be really valuable.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, we have sweep netting.
Okay.
And this is where things get a bit more active.
Right.
So picture a researcher walking along this designated path. It's called a transect.
Okay.
And they're sweeping a large net through the vegetation to catch the insects.
Ah, so it's like a bug safari.
It is.
You're going out there. You're in the habitat. You're trying to catch them.
You got it.
I bet that takes some serious skill, too.
It really does. Sweep netting requires way more effort, way more of a keen eye.
Yeah.
Now, the study we're diving into today wanted to compare these two methods.
Okay.
So they set up their experiment in 12 clear cuts.
Okay.
In boreal forests of Sweden.
Why Sweden?
Well, because these clear cuts, which are basically areas where trees have been removed, represented a really nice range of flower abundance and insect diversity.
Oh.
Which is perfect for comparing these methods, you know.
That makes sense.
And the results.
Yeah, lay it on me.
They were pretty eye-opening.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat.
So sweep netting caught almost twice as many insect specimens as pan traps.
Right.
A whopping 1184 compared to 591.
Oh my gosh.
And not only that, they found greater variety.
Okay.
108 species versus 48 species.
Wow, that is a huge difference.
It is. It's like comparing, I don't know, a regular fishing rod to a massive fishing net.
Yeah. So does that mean sweep netting is the clear winner?
Well, not quite. When the researchers looked closer at the specific types of insects caught, things got really interesting. Pan traps, for instance, were surprisingly good at catching certain types of beetles.
Okay.
Like the Cetonidae and the Leptorinae.
Okay.
Think of them as like the beetle daredevils diving right into those colorful pools.
So even though their overall numbers were lower, they excelled at catching certain beetles.
Exactly.
Okay. What about sweep netting? What were its like champions?
So sweep netting absolutely dominated when it came to catching hoverflies, also called Syrphidae. They snagged 785 hoverflies.
Whoa.
Compared to a measly 22 caught in pan traps.
That's insane.
It's crazy. It's like these hoverflies had a sixth sense for avoiding those bowls.
Maybe they're just too quick.
Maybe. Maybe for that passive approach.
Yeah.
What other groups preferred the net?
Yeah. Tell me.
Bees?
Okay.
Both social bees,
okay,
like bumblebees and honeybees,
right,
and those less well-known solitary bees,
okay,
all more likely to be caught by sweep netting.
Okay.
Which makes sense, you know, when you think about their behavior.
Right. They're so busy. They're buzzing from flower to flower. They're focused.
They are. They're on a mission.
Yeah. They're not going to be distracted by like a bowl, no matter how bright the color is.
No, they've got work to do.
Yeah, exactly. So if sweep netting is catching so many more insects, such a wider variety, why even bother with pan traps?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
And it really leads us to the heart of this deep dive.
Okay.
What this study shows is that these two methods can't really be compared directly.
Oh, okay.
They each have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
And they each tell a different story about the insect population.
So using just one method might give you a biased view of what's really out there.
100%. And that's a big deal because if you're comparing results from different studies,
right,
and they use different methods, you're not really comparing apples to apples.
It's like trying to compare a marathon runner's speed to a sprinter's speed.
Exactly.
They both run, but they excel in different ways.
Totally different things.
So I'm guessing this whole bias thing raises some serious questions about how we interpret scientific data.
Oh, absolutely. It highlights the importance of understanding how our methods
Yeah.
can shape our perception of the natural world, and sometimes even distort it.
Wow.
You know, we can't just assume that our data is giving us the full picture.
It's like trying to piece together a puzzle, but you're missing some of the pieces.
Exactly.
You might get the general idea, but it's incomplete.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this whole bias thing also has some pretty big implications, especially when it comes to something like conservation efforts.
Huge implications, absolutely. Imagine you're trying to protect a rare butterfly species.
Right.
And you do a survey using just one method,
right,
and you find very few individuals.
Okay.
You might conclude that they're in decline. They need urgent protection.
Yeah.
But what if you would use the other method?
You might find a much larger population and realize they're not in immediate danger.
Exactly.
So it seems like using both methods together could give a more complete picture.
It really could. And this brings us to a crucial takeaway for this part of our deep dive.
Okay.
The way scientists collect data can drastically skew their findings. And this can have real-world consequences, especially when it comes to making decisions about conservation.
So understanding these biases is essential, not just for scientists,
right,
but for anyone who cares about the environment.
Right.
We need to be critical consumers of information and understand that even seemingly simple choices, like how you catch a bug, can have a ripple effect on our understanding of the natural world.
100%. Well said. But before we get ahead of ourselves,
okay,
let's take a closer look at why we're seeing these biases in the first place.
Okay.
What makes certain insects more susceptible to one method over the other?
Right.
Stay tuned, because in part two, we'll delve into the factors that could be influencing these capture rates.
Oh, exciting.
And uncover even more fascinating insights from this study.
Can't wait. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of insect research. Last time, we left off with a bit of a cliffhanger. We were talking about how the way scientists collect their data, even something as simple as how they catch a bug, can significantly influence their findings. And that can have some pretty big implications for conservation.
Huge.
Yeah. So now we're going to dig into the why.
Okay.
What makes certain insects more susceptible to pan traps,
right,
while others are more likely to end up in the sweep net?
Yeah, good question.
So it's not just a random bug lottery.
Yeah.
There are actual factors that could be influencing these capture rates.
Oh, absolutely. One factor that researchers considered is color preference.
Okay.
We know that insects are drawn to different colors.
Right.
Especially those that reflect UV light.
Okay.
And this could definitely play a role in which insects end up in those colorful pan traps.
That makes sense. Like, it's like setting out different kinds of bait to attract different kinds of fish.
Exactly.
Some might go for the shiny lure. Others are drawn to the worms.
Yeah, you got it.
So did this study actually find that certain colors were more attractive to certain insects?
They did. They found that some beetles, like those Leptorhinae we talked about, the longhorn beetles, were particularly drawn to blue and white pan traps. Meanwhile, the hoverflies, the Syrphidae, seem to have a preference for yellow.
Interesting. So if you're studying a specific insect group, you would need to make sure your pan traps are the right color to attract them.
Right.
Otherwise, you could miss them entirely.
You could, totally.
What other factors besides color could be at play here?
Another factor that they looked at was body size.
Okay.
You know, there's this common assumption that pan traps are less effective for catching larger insects.
Right, right.
Maybe because they're strong enough to escape the liquid.
Yeah.
Or just less likely to fall in the first place.
Makes sense.
So did the study support that assumption?
I'm going to guess no, based on how you're asking.
You would be right. They didn't find a significant relationship.
Okay.
Between body size and the likelihood of being caught in a pan trap.
Interesting. So larger insects weren't necessarily less likely to be caught.
Nope. Not according to this study, anyway.
It's not as straightforward as we might think.
It's not. What other explanations did they explore?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, they speculated that flight and landing behavior could be a major factor.
Okay.
So think about it. Some insects, like those hoverflies, they have this incredible precise flight control.
Right.
They can like zip around and land gracefully on delicate flowers.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just less likely to make a clumsy mistake and end up in a pan trap.
Right. Like they're the acrobats of the insect world.
Got a little...
Hard to imagine them just like stumbling into a trap.
Right.
Whereas those beetles, I don't know.
I know, right?
Maybe they're not winning any aerial agility awards.
Yeah, their flight's a little less refined.
They might be more prone to those accidental plunges.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that pan traps, being stationary, might attract insects from outside the study area,
Oh, that's a good point.
which could lead to an overestimation of their presence in that specific location,
Right.
whereas sweep netting is more focused on the insects that are actually present within that transect.
You got it.
So it's like comparing a fishing net, which catches whatever swims by, versus a spear, which targets specific prey.
Yeah.
They both have their uses,
Absolutely.
but they paint very different pictures of the fish population.
Great analogy.
So are there any other factors we haven't talked about yet that might be influencing those capture rates?
Well, there's the environment itself.
Oh, okay.
Things like temperature, wind, even the time of day.
Right.
All of these can influence insect behavior
Okay.
and therefore the effectiveness of different sampling methods.
Right. Like I can see how a gust of wind could easily blow those insects off course,
Right.
make them less likely to end up in a pan trap.
Yeah, or make sweep netting a total nightmare.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. And temperature, I imagine that can affect insect activity levels too.
Absolutely. Some insects are more active in warmer temperatures,
Okay.
while others might be sluggish or even inactive when it's cold,
Right.
which could influence their likelihood of being caught.
Makes sense. So even these subtle environmental factors can create a whole other layer of complexity.
Okay.
When it comes to studying insects, it's like trying to understand this complex recipe with constantly changing
You
ingredients.
got it. It's all about context,
Right.
understanding not just what you're studying,
Yeah.
but the environment you're studying it in.
Right.
Even small variations can have a ripple effect.
So this is all fascinating.
It is.
But I have to ask, why should people care about this? I mean, aside from, the bug enthusiasts out there,
Sure.
why does understanding these nuances of insect research matter?
Great question. And the answer is simple. Insects are incredibly important.
Okay.
They play a vital role in our ecosystems and even our daily lives.
Okay.
We often overlook them or dismiss them as pests, but the
Right.
truth is, we need them.
Yeah. I know, they're crucial for pollination, which helps us grow our food,
Right.
but what other roles do they play in the grand scheme of things?
Well, they're a major food source for tons of other animals.
Okay.
Birds, bats, reptiles, amphibians, even
Right.
other insects. They're a key link in the food chain. Right.
Supporting entire ecosystems.
So if insect populations decline, it could have a domino effect on all those creatures that
Exactly.
depend on them for food.
100%.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't stop there.
Right. It goes beyond that, right?
It does. They also play a crucial role in decomposition,
Okay.
breaking down that organic matter,
Right.
recycling nutrients back into the soil.
Yeah.
Without them, the natural world would be a very different place.
Yeah.
Much less hospitable, I would say.
It's like they're the behind-the-scenes crew
Totally.
keeping the whole planet running smoothly.
That's a good way to put it.
And their contributions extend even beyond the natural world.
They do.
Right.
They do. They play a significant role in human society, too.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. They pollinate our crops,
Right.
providing us with fruits, vegetables,
Yeah.
even chocolate.
Okay.
And they also provide us with valuable products
Yeah.
like honey and silk.
So, whether we realize it or not,
Our lives are really deeply intertwined with the lives of insects.
they are.
So protecting them isn't just about preserving biodiversity,
Right.
it's about protecting ourselves
Exactly.
and ensuring the health of our planet.
100%.
And understanding how we study them is a crucial part of that.
Yeah, well said. By recognizing the complexities and challenges of insect research,
Yeah.
we can develop more effective conservation strategies
Right.
and ensure that these vital creatures continue to thrive.
Right.
But we're not quite done with our deep dive yet.
Okay.
In the final part, we're going to explore what the future holds for insect research
Okay.
and discuss some exciting new developments that could revolutionize our understanding of these incredible
Oh,
creatures.
exciting.
So stay tuned.
I can't wait. Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into insect research.
Yeah.
We've talked about pan traps, sweep netting, the challenges, the biases, and why insects are so important.
It's been a journey.
Now I want to look ahead. You know what advancements are on the horizon. What could revolutionize how we study these incredible creatures?
Well, one area that's really taking off is DNA technology.
Okay.
So scientists can actually extract DNA from insects caught in traps or nets
Wow.
and use that information to identify species,
Okay.
track populations,
Yeah.
even study their evolutionary history.
Wow, that's incredible. So we can unlock a whole new level of understanding like beyond what we can see with our own eye.
Exactly. It's like a secret decoder ring for the insect world.
And what's even more exciting is like this technology is becoming more affordable, more accessible.
It is.
So that's opening up a whole new world of possibilities for insect research.
Yeah. Imagine identifying a tiny insect larva.
Right.
Just by analyzing its DNA.
Wow.
It could change how we study insect development, their life cycles.
It's like having a superpower. Suddenly we can see all these invisible connections.
Yeah.
Understand their relationships in a whole new light.
Yes.
What other advancements are there?
Another area that's generating a lot of buzz is AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay.
So researchers are developing these AI algorithms that can analyze huge data sets of insect observations, identify patterns, and even predict population trends.
So we're combining cutting-edge technology with nature to better understand them.
We are.
I feel like we're entering a golden age of insect research.
I think we are.
And with all these exciting advances, I'm optimistic about the future.
Me too.
There's still so much to learn, but with these tools at our disposal, we're better equipped than ever to uncover those mysteries.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with this sense of awe at the complexity and importance of insects.
Yeah.
You know, we've learned that studying them is challenging, but also really rewarding.
It is.
And the knowledge we get from these studies can help us protect them for generations to come.
It can. And you know, it's important to remember that even though we focused on just two methods,
yep.
there are countless other ways to study insects,
right.
each with their own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So it's crucial to be those critical consumers of information
right.
and understand that the way the data is collected can influence the results.
Yeah. It's not about just blindly accepting everything you read.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the context.
Exactly.
And asking questions.
Right.
You know, what methods were used?
Yeah.
What are the biases?
Totally.
By being informed, we can all play a role in shaping a future where insects can thrive.
Absolutely. And before we sign off, one last thought to ponder.
Okay.
We talked about the key factors influencing capture rates, color, size, behavior, the environment. But what other less obvious variables might be at play?
That's a great question. It's like a reminder that there's always more to learn.
Yeah.
And that our understanding of the natural world is always evolving.
Always.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. There's always another layer to uncover.
Yeah, keep those minds curious, deep divers.
Yeah.
The world of insects is full of mystery,
right.
and there's always something new to uncover. Every insect, no matter how small, plays a vital role in this tapestry of life on Earth.
Beautifully said. Well, on that note of wonder and appreciation, we say farewell.
Yeah.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning,
Please, sir.
And keep diving deep into the fascinating world around us.